case. Joshua's big turnips. Charles big turnips. Case. A monk asked Chao Cho, "Teacher, I have heard that you have personally seen Nan Chuan. Is this true or not?" Cho said, "Chen Cho produces big turnips." A monk asked Chao Cho, "Teacher, I have heard that you have personally seen Nan Chuan. Is this true or not?" Chao said, "Chen Cho produces big turnips." Chen Cho means the place. Where big turnips are produced. In the original text, it's not turnip, radishes. Radishes, but that's okay. So, anyway, Chao said, Chen Chao produces big turnips. And so that Chen Chao was the place where the Nansen was, anyway, practiced there. This monk was really brave because he wanted to check Joshua Zen Master how he understood, he transmitted Nansen, his teacher's Dharma, expressing it, how he expressed his teacher's Dharma in his daily life. So he really wanted to check. But actually already the monks, the Joshu Zen Master was very famous at those days. So everyone knows from whom he was transmitted the Dharma, and also who was his teacher, you know, everyone knows. And also even this monk knew pretty well because he came to the Joshu Zen Master's temple anyway. So he knew already. But anyway, he wanted to check, and then ask like this, posed these questions. That's why notes says 1,000 hearings are not as good as one seeing. Anyway, everyone knows Joshua Zen Master was very famous, and also one of the Nansen Zen Master's disciples. He knows. Everyone knows. Everyone says so, like this. But 1,000 hearings are not as good as one seeing. So anyway, right now, you want to see Joshua Zen Master as a person and check it. Push it, anyway. So he is pressing him. Everyone has a pair of eyebrows. Means it's very clear. It's very clear. Joshua Zen Master was one of the Nansen disciples, and one of Nansen disciples who was transmitted, the Nansen Dharma was transmitted. So everyone knows. But this monk said, "Teacher, I have heard that have personally seen Nan Chuan. Is this true or not?" So Chao said, "Chen Chou produces big turnips." That answer was completely well. Blow your mind. You don't understand. How this answer was connected with his questions. So completely we don't know. But the point is, Chen Cho produces a big turnips means, anyway, it's Just like anyway, Minnesota, you can get the big walleyes in the Minnesota, that's fine. Karagi. Have you ever seen the karagiri? If you someone ask you, have you ever seen karagiri? Say, oh yes, so you can get the big walleye. Same thing anyway. That means walleyes and the lakes and not two things. Anyway, walleyes. Minnesota is walleyes. Leech Lake is exactly walleyes. We know pretty well anyway. Anyway, walleyes, Minnesota. Everyone knows. But everyone knows, but you don't know why, don't you? You are alive. But you know pretty well you are alive, but you don't know who you are. Why are you American? You don't know. According to you, the fact you don't know, your life is very huge. But on the other hand, you are very clear beings, very precise beings, which is alive from moment to moment. Because you are breathe. You're breathing every day. So very clear. So are you alive, Karagiri? Oh, yes, I am. From where Karagiri comes? From Japan. I know pretty well, but I don't know why. I am Japanese. From this point, you know, the real reality where you are present every day, connected with all sentient beings anyway. Well, it's very clear. That is a place you are existent. But simultaneously, you don't know why. Okay? That is real reality. Look at your practice. You are practicing Zazen. It's very clear. Reasons, very clear reason there. I want to deepen my life. I want to have a peaceful life. It's very clear reasons. But you don't know why. Why do you practice that then? Because every day, how much can you get? How much can you get the benefit from Zazen? It's huge. You don't know. Can you know whether Zazen is useful or not? You don't know. But all you have to do is, if you want to be, anyway, deepening your life, anyway, if you want to be peaceful life, peaceful, anyway, if you want to have a peaceful life, anyway, practice. Practice. Getting up in the morning, anyway, practice. But you don't know how much it is progressing or not in practice. That is a total picture of reality. Reality means not the reality you can perceive, but the reality beyond your perceptions. So I say real reality, okay? Real reality, big reality, before you can catch it. That is called real presence, your presence, okay? If you sit down, that is your presence. That presence, always you can catch it through your consciousness. But there is another vastness of the big presence before your consciousness reach. That is real presence in which you are sitting, your full aliveness is going constantly. So that is so-called chinchao produces turnips. Just like a relationship between the spring and flowers, autumn and falling leaf. Well, when the first spring comes, flower blooms. When the autumn comes, leaves and you fall. Which of two comes first? Autumn comes first and then the leaves fall. That is human speculation. The first leaves, they fall, and then autumn comes. I don't think so. Simultaneously? No, I don't think so. Or, completely beyond your speculation? No. Very clear. autumn comes after anyway, summer's very clear. So everything is very clear, but simultaneously, big scale of the reality, real reality, autumn exists, the falling leaves exist, are really huge. You don't know what it is. But simultaneously it's there. Simultaneously, a huge lump of burning energies, anyway, going, growing, always. Okay. That is the relationship between spring and the flowers and autumn and, anyway, falling leaves. The same applies to teachers, Joshua's and his teacher's relationship. Anyway, you can't know. Yes, I saw, Joshua saw directly nothing, but that is intellectual understanding. Or, if so, Joshua didn't see the nothing, this is also intellectual understanding. So, in this koan, anyway, koan poses a double questions. Whether Joshua Zen Master saw his teacher or not. Double question. And in the previous chapter, case also, they posed double questions. Whether the world is destroyed, whether the truth is destroyed or not. When the world is destroyed. Okay? So relation, double question means the truth is completely destroyed when the world is destroyed. So what means, what kind of relation between the truth and the phenomena? Truth and the human beings, human world. It's two, or not two, or one. So same applied to this chapter, this case. So, the Joshua has to see the vastness of the ultimate truth, okay, through Nansen Zen Master, anyway. So that's a little difficult if you don't have your open eyes to see. Okay? So you have to have your open eyes to see the truth, which is leaping constantly, like a leaping fish in his daily life. So exactly Joshua Zen Master should become nonsense Zen Master, exactly same, because he anyway Master, Joshua Zen Master, anyway accepted Dharma, means that Joshua Zen Master must become exactly Nansen. So, but Joshua is not Nansen. Joshua is Nansen, but Joshua is not Nansen. Joshua is exactly Nansen, Zen Master. So there is always, at the level of conscious level, always there are two questions. You can pose double questions always. Who are you? I am Kalagiri or I am Buddha? Okay. All these double questions. But the world which you can pose double question are, anyway, delusions. Dualistic world. We have to, anyway, realize, anyway, oneness, ultimate truth. So, there is a good story when Joshua Zen Master practiced under the guidance of Nansen. In this book, page 227. One day, Joshua asked Nansen, what is the way? What is way means the ultimate truth, okay? Or truth, what is the truth? What is the way? Nansen, the master said, ordinary mind is way. This is very famous koan. If you see the Gateless Gate, number 19, you can see this koan. Charles said, Joshua said, is it true, is it still possible to aim for it? Means, ordinary mind, if ordinary mind is a way, how can I get to the ultimate truth? Is it the possibility to direct yourself toward the truth, which is really alive in your daily life? Nansen said, if you attempt to turn toward it, then you are turning away from it. Joshua said, when I make no attempt, how do I know this is the way? If you attempt to turn towards it, then you are turning away from it. This is very interesting point. You have to contemplate carefully through your Zazen. I always tell you in Zazen, concentration on Zazen or not concentration on Zazen. Having the right concentration or having a not right concentration. Or whether you have perfect concentration in Zazen or not. Whatever you say, right in the middle of Zazen, if you think, I have perfect concentration, that is, you already direct toward ultimate truth, but the same things, it disappears, because it's not concentration. It's not real concentration. So if you see if you really touch the real concentration which you have understood, it disappears because it's not real one. So you are really confused. So next moment that you can see you have not perfect concentration, and then immediately you catch it, you think they're not correct concentrations, so it makes you confused. So, for the next moment, you can have, there is a possibility to have a right concentration anyway, regardless of whether you think or not. So, whatever you think, right concentration or not right concentration, both are delusions. Delusion means that is nothing but the picture drawn by your consciousness, fabricated by your consciousness. And you fall into it. And that time, it is called delusion. But this is fact. This is a fact. You always create double questions. I have right concentration, or I don't have right concentration. Double questions always. This is a fact you are present in. If so, there is no excuse to escape from, so you have to handle this one, okay? The fourth is not the idea, fourth is not a presence of right concentration or not right concentrations. Fourth is found with you. How you deal with double questions, practical. So if you always stay in the dualistic world first, and then see the double question, double aspects of existence, right or wrong, and then immediately you want to get the right concentration, keeping away from wrong concentration. But simultaneously, wrong concentration and right concentration are existing constantly simultaneously, becoming a cause and effect, each other's. So next moment, not right concentration appears. Next moment, right concentration is experienced by you. So that means always there. So important point is you cannot escape from those double questions, double aspect of existence. If so, you have to stand up first in the vastness of the existence. Okay, that is called ultimate truth. In other words, huge space. And then accept both anyway. And then deal as simple as you can anyway. When you see right concentration, and then you can see it as soon as possible, anyway, pass by anyway. Accept it and handle it, pass by. As simple as you can. If you see not concentration, not right concentration, you can see it and correct it and try to have right concentration as simple as you can. Exactly in the same attitude to all. Anyway. That is Nansen Zen Master says ordinary mind is a way. Okay? If so, is it still possible to aim for it? Yes, we are. We can direct ourselves toward it. But those we can direct ourselves toward it, toward the ultimate truth, are anyway not truth. Delusions, double questions, always, double aspects. That's why Joshua Zen Master says, if you attempt to turn toward it, then you are turning away from it. And then Joshua Zen Master says, when I make no attempt, how do I know this is the way? How can you be confident that daily life is the way? Daily life is real reality, truth. That is really what to say, Joshua Zen Master's Zen Master's anguish, the inner anguish. But any Zen practitioner in Buddhist history, without exception, experience this awful cry in their heart. This question, when I make no attempt, how do I know this is the way? This is really Joshua's, anyway, awful cry in his heart. Joshua said, Nansen Zen Master says, the way is not in the realm of knowing or not knowing. Real ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is something not far from you. Ultimate truth is, I always tell you, real reality, what you are, present. In other words, real presence. Your real presence. This is the ultimate truth. If you want to believe in something, you have to believe your real presence before your consciousness is. Well, awaken to it. So, the way is not in the realm of knowing or not knowing. Not the knowing right concentration, not knowing right concentration. Whatever you see, those are delusions, ideas fabricated by your consciousness. So, knowing is false consciousness. Knowing is false consciousness, so-called delusions. Well, If you know, right concentration in zazen, next moment it disappears. That means the diligence, image, just the image. And not knowing is insensibility. That means, not knowing means blankness. This is also delusion. So not right concentration is also delusion. Right concentration is also delusion. Because provisional existence appears, disappears anyway. So if it is true arrival on the way where there is no double, no doubt, it is like a great void, like a vacant hole, empty and open. How could one insist on affirming or denying it? Well, your presence, your real presence is very great vastness, which you cannot pin down what it is. So no matter how long you study, how useful your life is, how valuable your life is, how important your practice is, or not, you never get answer anyway. But even though you can get answer, that is still answer coming from functioning of your consciousness. Analyzing, synthesizing. So important point is, I always tell you a TV set, okay? Vastness of existence is, you can experience in your daily life very naturally. Always if you try to understand life according to your consciousness, you always separate TV set and you, and entertainment and music, and universal energies and human effort, everything separated and set up very neatly, like your garden. But it's not, it's neat, but it's not something full alive. It's just you set up a concept of entertainment, music, and universal energies, and the you, and TV, and your knowledge, information of TV, everything set up. But it doesn't work. They don't work. So how do you want them to work everyday life? So you should know to the minimum information of the TV how to deal with and turn on the switch. Anyway. Turn on the switch means a practice anyway. Every moment you have to turn on switch of your life, okay? Turn on, get up in the morning. This is anyway turn on. But if you set up your life intellectually, you immediately have a questions. You know? Questions, the question comes up. That question is, why should I wake up in the early morning? It is useful or not? According to sleepy feeling, you don't feel it's useful. According to the universal perspective, it's very useful because you can tune into the rhythm of universal life. Okay? It's great. So, important point is, get up means turn on the switch. Immediately, anywhere you can see the entertainment, sounds, and the pictures in the screens. Okay? And also behind the tiny switch, there are complicated electricities and the human effort, universal energies, whole world work together and comes to one screen, which makes you happy anyway. That's nice. It's completely beyond your speculations. So that's why, anyway, Zen Master says, anyway, can you produce turnips? Means, of course, the Minneapolis, you can get the walleyes in the Minneapolis. This is ideas, you know. But everyone knows, you can get the walleye in Minneapolis. But this is still ideas. So to get the walleye in the Minneapolis, what do you mean by? Anyway, you must be one with the Minneapolis. You must be anywhere walleye, because you have to get it, you know. You know, when the walleye is in your hand, anywhere walleye is you. You have to know walleye directly anyway, okay? And then walleye means Minneapolis simultaneously. So at that time, walleye is really leaping in your hand and Minneapolis. And broadly speaking, in the universe. Anyway, it's leaping. Setcho's verse says, Chencho produces big turnips. This is, anyway, you have to realize your real presence, which you kind of pin down, whether it is useful or not. Anyway, according to your common sense memories, you can say, your life is useful, your life is not useful. Always double questions come up. But whatever kind of, whatever the questions you can pose, it is still idealistical understanding. So, finally, anyway, you have to realize real present where turnips is produced. In where? In Jinshu. That is your life. In you. Anywhere turnips is produced. Turnips means in your Buddha nature, vastness of existence. Anywhere you can get it. So it's very clear. Turnips comes from Chencho. This is everyone knows. It's very clear. From generation to generation. Buddha and patriarch say so. We believe so. Everyone knows. But we don't know what it is. Real presence, where do you live? Where do you exist? That is a presence. Your presence, real reality. Everyone knows. But you don't know, actually. You don't know what is a real presence. So it seems to be known well, but the actually not. This is a real presence. This is a real reality where you are present every day. Okay. So that is a pretty big. All the particular robbed monks in the country seized upon this as a principle. So very naturally, everyone knows you can get the walleye in Minneapolis. This is a kind of principle, you know. And then, if you go to the Rinza, you can practice Zazen with the koans. This is a kind of principle. Always we know like this. When the spring comes, flower blooms. This is kind of principle. Instead of realizing real reality, whether spring and flowers both alive. Both alive vividly, from moment to moment, before you analyze and synthesize. They only know it as extending from past to present. Yes, the past and the present. Ancient time, then Buddhism is explained such and such such. Then Buddhism in United States now is explained such and such. We know pretty well. But actually we don't know. What is the Zen Buddhism in the United States? How can they discern that the swan is white and crow is black? How can you know? Zen Buddhism in the United States is wrong. Zen Buddhism in Japan is right. Zen in China is right. then in America is wrong? That is the idea. But anyway, a day by day is from moment to moment, year after year, then what is in the United States has been growing anyway. I don't know how much. How much Zen Buddhism teaches successfully, I don't know. But it's there. So everyone knows Zen Buddhism in the United States. But no one knows what the Zen Buddhism is. Still Zen Buddhism is vast. Karagiri exists in Minneapolis, everyone knows. But they don't know who Karagiri is. Why is the Karagiri moved to Minneapolis? No one knows. Of course, after my death, you can write the history, but it's ridiculous for me. But if you are interested in writing the history, my history, you can do it. But no one knows. You cannot write about my history completely perfectly, even though you know me. No one knows. So I know who I am, but still I don't know who I am. The other day I am going to see the doctor. I'm not criticizing, okay? I must be a good patient anyway. So very interesting. He said that the other day I have an impatience in my heart, in my bottom, in my life. After checking my body anyway, muscle. And I have a sort of a feeling of guilty. And he said, you should allow your life processes of time to unfold because you are impatient. Do you understand? And then he gave me the medicine. That's interesting. That's interesting for me. It's okay. I'm not suffering from that. Whatever he said, I accepted. So he said, don't you think so? He said to me, don't you think so? Maybe so. Because I know that, already. So I have impatience or I haven't impatience, Whatever I say, whatever he says, anyway, I have a boss. Impatience and patience. Don't you think so? If I don't have impatience, I lose my energy to live. So impatience is what's wrong with impatience. Impatience should be something I should take care of as well as patience anyway. If so, impatience is not something wrong, but I should pay careful attention to it because impatience comes up. It's just like a bounce. So I have to see and take care of it. Patience comes up. I have to take care of it. Because in the vastness of the existence, there are always double questions comes up. You cannot escape. You cannot get only one. You have to get, if you want to get the only one, so-called patience, you should get simultaneously patience with impatience. This is really true. So he gave me the medicine. That's an interesting point, That is modern people. we want to know everything that is mechanically, technically. How can you cure impatience through the medicine, whatever kind of medicine? it looks like stuffing up a hole. And in a human life, there are lots of holes there. Don't you think so? Look at your life. Your life is like
ball with lots of holes. If you stuff up one hole, the water leaking the other from the other hole, so-called patience. And then you don't like patience, so you stuff up. And then on the other end, water leaking from the impatience, you know. Always. So, take a medicine in order to recover. Impatience means what? I think Tomoe said, it seems that it makes the impatience numb. Do you understand? Numb. That's true.
Makes it what else?
Numb.
Numb.
But even though you numb, you make the impatience numb for temporary, for a certain period of time. It comes up in the future anyway. Because you cannot escape impatience. Always there is impatience and patience. And he said, please read the sentence. I allow my life for processes of time to unfold. That's nice, you know, just like there. And then I should have four drops in the 4 days. Four drops a day. That's nice, you know, just like a magical Buddhist term statement. Unfold means how can you unfold your life? You should, anyway, regardless of whether you feel guilty or not guilty, or patient, impatient, or not impatient, whatever you feel. Anyway, your life is already unfolded. That is the vastness of existence, okay? And then stop up there. And then at that time, you can handle. Anyway, unfold or fold, patient or impatient, without making big waves. Just a handle. Modern intellectual sense is very nice, you know, particularly in the United States. If you see, if somebody so realize a ghost in at a certain house, it's there. Finally, they try to they research the ghost, you know. Ha! Do you know how? Putting a microphone in the house, inside of the house. And they get something through the machine. Always there is a machine, you know. Materialistically or mentally, always machine there. If you believe. And then if microphone gets something, some funny noise, and then you believe, yes, ghosts exist. It's wonderful, isn't it? That is a modern civilization, it's modern people. But it makes you crazy anyway. Because no end. Always stuffing up and leaking, stuffing up, leaking always. Endlessly, finally you are exhausted. And then you can see yourself how crazy you are. So I think from now on, not only Japanese, anyway, human being, American, European, whoever they are, anyway, I don't want to convert anybody into Buddhism. I don't care. But what I want to tell you is, anyway, to see once more again human life from a different angle, anyway, deep in your life. That's great. So Buddhism teaches in that way. That's why, well, I teach the Buddhism. Finally, the Secho, who composed the verse, says thief means, you know, Buddhists and patriarchs, human beings are always using a technique, ideas and imaginations and always those and teaching is also Buddha's teaching, experience and the judgment, thinking, all are anyway, but all have become toys, you know. Then grieve anyway. Then by this belief, then they feel themselves good, you know. You think the Buddha's teaching that is exactly anyway thief, because you thief, you steal the truth and buy technique or teaching or philosophy, psychology, etc. But actually you cannot steal anything at all. But by believing belief in something, ghost, existence of ghost, through the microphone, anyway, you can steal real ghost. Real ghost is emptiness anyway, void, nothingness. So he has snatched the patch of monk's nostrils. So he has snatched the patch of monk's nostrils. This is real realities, present real realities, you know, nose and Zen teachers who snatched the monk's nose, exactly boss come together, you know, saying ouch, you know, from where ouch comes. From my hands, by what Zen teachers smash? No. Out comes from his mouth? No. Out comes from his heart? No. From where? From emptiness. Emptiness means all conditions come together, work together. The time is right, conditions are arranged, all sentient beings come together, and then you can say, ouch, that's all. You say, if you sit down here, in Sashin, some of you don't like. But whatever you say, boss who thinks so, anyway, sit at the same level of existence. So called going beyond like or dislike, anyway. So he has snatched the patch raw monk's nostrils. Anyway, in order to awaken them to what real presence is. The Buddhism, I told you before, patience. Patience is a very interesting meaning of patience in Buddhism. Patience is not to suffer patiently or not to endeavor, but willingly to accept, totally willing acceptance. So, with the three kinds of patience there, one is patience in sound. Patience in sound means anyway, kind of, I don't know how can I say that, belief, matter of belief in. Belief in your real presence. Your presence is vast. And then when you touch there, it's not something you can get it, but but it's just like a sound echoing everywhere. You don't know from where it comes anyway. So real presence is just like a sound, vibrating, constant, echoing. So if you touch it, immediately it echoes. Okay? Helping you simultaneously helping us. So that's why the first one is sound, patience in sound. That's interesting. Okay? So if you believe vastness of existence, so-called real presence, that means you cannot pin down what it is. It's very clear you are there. Okay? Very clear. Where are you? I am in the presence. Very clear. But actually, what is the presence? You don't know. So total picture of the presence is just like a sound. You don't know. But if you are there, constantly, well, it helps you and helps us. How? Just like an echoing of sound. If you touch it, just like a guitar, you know, if you touch the string, sound comes up and echoes to every inch of the world. So that is a sound and a patience in sound. And the second is obedience, patience in obedience. This is also interesting. According to the D.T. Suzuki's explanations, the patience of obedience means to see into the truth that there is no self-substance in any individualized object, animate or otherwise, and therefore that there is neither actor nor sufferer. And things are eternally such as they are. When a man comes to accept this truth, though, he may not yet have fully realized in meaning. He has the obedience. That means you know you can't pin down what the real presence where you are means. Real presence doesn't have any individual, you know, substance, and not any self-substance. So it's really vast, so-called emptiness or nothingness. From this point, there is neither actor or sufferer. No one so-called actor. I am suffering. I don't think so. If you say I suffer, that is you become actor. And also, or I create suffering, that is you are actor. And suffer, no suffer, means I am suffering. It's, well, you become suffering. Means the subject and the object, always. There is something who creates suffering. There is somebody who accepts, who suffers suffering, anyway. But in the level of emptiness, vastness of existence, real presence, there are no actors, no suffering, no object, and no suffering, no subject anyway. It's vast. And then that's why there are, anyway, many kind of things come up, you know, just like ocean. So when a man comes to accept this truth, though he may not yet have fully realized its meaning, means you cannot pin down what it is. So very naturally, you become obedient, soft. You can't pin down. I am good boy or I am bad boy. You cannot say so. Even though you become a good boy, you become more pre-obedient, humble, majestic, and kind, soft, without having an egoistic sense, anyway, too much proud, etc. Anyway, so if you see a real picture of your presence, real presence, okay, which is vast, which you can't pin down anything at all, at that time you become very naturally humble, soft, majestic, and obedient. If you don't know, you become always, you know, egoistic, stiff, self-centeredness. If you know that, even though you have a right concentration, toward right concentration, you become very soft, gentle, obedient, anyway, humble, very kind. Next moment, when you see not right concentration, you can be soft, kind, compassionate, and humble. Because you know where right concentration or not right concentration exist. They exist in the vastness, real reality. So, that's why he said like this. That is the second one, okay? Patience in anyway, obedience. So very naturally, you don't know exactly what the reality is, okay? What life is. The more you experience your life broadly or deeply, you don't know what your life is. At that time, very naturally, you become very kind, soft, gentle, don't you think so? And tolerant, majestic. But if your mind is very narrow, if your experience is very narrow and shallow, you always say, I know what life is, you know. You become very stiff and egoistic. So, very naturally, you don't know what the real reality is. This is patience in obedience. Patience of obedience. Third one is patience of unborn nature of things. That is an interesting point too. That is finally what you have to do is after experience the second patience, okay? Patience of obedience. If you don't know what your real reality is, next, anyway, all you have to do is to let you be constantly right in the midst of real reality constantly. That is your effort, okay? So when you do gassho, well, immediately if you analyze gassho and you and useful or value of the gassho itself, at that time you cannot be in the real reality. So real reality is your life must be alive, gassho must be alive, you know. So piece of paper, so-called $100, anyway. So if you want to have $100 bill, anyway, you should get the piece of paper and print it. And next, you cannot analyze, synthesize, thinking it is useful or not. Next moment, you have to use it practically. Not to use $100 means to make any way to give life to $100 bill and also to support your life. So Kasho, before, anyway, instead of analyzing, synthesizing and what Kasho is, anyway, you have to, you must be alive. Kasho must be alive means just do Kasho. That is a practice which just put you right in the midst of process of practice, so-called real realities. But if you don't realize that vastness of existence, so-called ultimate truth, it's very difficult to keep this kind of practice always, because your head is big. Your head is going farther, fast. Do you understand? Your head will go fast, farther. But your body cannot catch up anyway. Do you understand? Your head is going, you know, fast, no, fast and the further. But your body is here. So you, if you sit down, your head is Japan, Europe, and the heaven and the hells and all this. But your body cannot catch up. Your body is here anyway. So it's very difficult to practice like this always. So that's why our first important point is, even though you don't realize this, that's why under the guidance of the coach, anyway, you have to practice football anyway, if you want to be a football player anyway. But there is no guarantee whether you become a top player or not. But if you want to be a football player, you have to practice. Anyway, practice. But no one knows. But if you want, anyway, you should practice under the guidance of coach, anyway. So, that is just like a turn of the switch, okay? And then, all things come together into one screen, anyway. This is a getting up in the morning, Gassho, and Kingin, and Praktizazen, and talk, etc., with wholeheartedness. But on the other hand, consciousness must be taken care of, because behind the tiny switch, there are complicated electricity there. That is the structure of philosophy of human life. So you have to learn one by one. This is a study. See, Buddhism study is not stuffing up knowledge into your head. Buddhism, the study of the Buddhism is anyway to see deeply into how all sentient beings are structured and walking on, walking in peace and harmony. Very naturally, you can know the limitation of human knowledge. So, this is real patience, meaning of patience, okay? Meaning of patience. So, to live is really practice of patience for us. So, patience in Buddhism is not the patience opposed to impatience, anyway. At the level of patience, you have to take care of two ideas, double questions, patience, impatience, anyway. Because patience in Buddhism is, anyway, to tune in to the dial of the rhythm of ultimate reality. Anyway, going back there. This is the meaning of patience. That's why I don't understand why he gave me the medicine. <laughs> 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 That's interesting. That's really human big head. But I appreciate him. So I have to drink anyway. I don't know what happens. Do you have a question?
When the monk asked Joshu a question and Joshu said that place grows big turnips, were they each standing up in the vastness of existence?
Well, sure. It's true. Because monks know already.
You use the term sentient being, it would seem that all beings are sentient. And the word sentient just is an added word. Doesn't seem like it's actually necessary to put the word in. I'm just wondering why you use the word sentient.
Or sentient.
Why it's used.
Well, this is my problem, too. So, please teach me the meaning of all sentient beings. But I mean that all sentient beings means including animate or inanimate beings. Okay? Not only sentient beings. So sometimes I use all beings. But all beings, the concept of all beings are a little bit different from. So, from what would you say? All sentient beings, including animate or inanimate beings. I don't know.
You said everyone who studies Buddhism experiences the deep cry. What is that cry?
What deep cry means the human beings have always ignorance. Ignorance means human desire, which we really want to know something, really want to touch something. We really want to know. We really want to know or touch something in order to satisfy your desire. And that is so-called ignorance. Constantly comes up. But unfortunately, I told you anyway, broad scale of human life is not something like this. So very naturally, your consciousness scream anyway. Do you understand? That is your consciousness, your ignorance cries, burst out crying anyway. Because you cannot know. But you want to know.
Is the ignorance completely calm?
It depends on the understanding, your understanding of calm.
Well,
ignorance is actually ignorance is not something wrong, so called sin. It's not something like a sin you have believed usually. But the basis of ignorance is emptiness anyway. So whatever you say, karma or ignorance, anyway, all are the base of all things, karma, ignorance, are, it's the same. Anyway, same. They exist in at the same level of existence. So co-emptiness. Okay? And then when the time is right, conditions are arranged, anyway, something comes up. So called karagi and the tables. And then karagi has already conscious with what would you say, organs, sense organ. Sense organ catch the object, and the object and the sense organs are put together, and then my consciousness are joined to this, the functioning of the consciousness, sense organs and the object. And then consciousness judges, oh, this is stable. This is already, before you realize, it's already going on constantly. You don't know why it's called. It goes like this. You don't know. Do you understand? You don't know, but then you say, why is it, why such a reality goes on? It's already functioning of your consciousness. Constantly consciousness works like this. So that is the ignorance. Anyway, so-called ignorance. Constantly analyze and synthesize and...
Well, just not ignorance is always tripping itself up, getting caught again and again.
Yeah, again and again. Like in the Zen, don't think any thought. You immediately say, I shouldn't think, thoughts. So that is already you think thoughts. So you are completely caught by, again and again, like this.
It seems like that ignorance is part of being human.
Oh, sure. That is sure. It is human.
If that's true, then I don't exactly understand how... I don't understand the difference between the understanding of ignorance and the understanding of original sin.
Well, that's you have to understand carefully the concept of original sin. Concept of ignorance. Concept of ignorance is a completely different form, okay? Concept of sin. Because concept of sin comes from Christianity.
If you don't know what the difference is.
If you use a concept like this, well, very naturally people believe in that way. Don't you think so? From where it comes. That is a Christian term. Don't you think so? In Buddhism, actually, we don't. We have the ignorance, but the ignorance is not the sin, anyway.
Well, how do you understand the idea of original sin?
Well, it's not, we don't have original sin, anyway.
Okay, from Christianity, what is your understanding of the Christian understanding of original sin?
Well, according to me, anyway, original sin is still not original. Original is emptiness. Original is emptiness. Original is vastness of existence. This is original. But if I say it's original, you immediately set up something original which exists, in somewhere. That is already concept. So original means vastness, which you cannot put any sense into it. Okay, this is original, okay? Because original is a very clear, nothing else. See? And then only time is right, conditions are in, something comes up anyway. This is the human world, the beginning of the world, anyway, before the world begins. This is really true. So ignorance, we temporarily say ignorance, but this ignorance comes from deep understanding, seeing into the fact what human life is functioning every day, from moment to moment, how human life is going. And then through this fact, which human life is going, and then the human being anyway realize egoness. So this is idea. It's not religion. So through the understanding of ignorance, anyway, you can feel human, okay? Yeah, you can feel human. Without ignorance, you cannot be survived. You cannot survive. So ignorance is really great energy to live. Don't you think so? You know, I want to know this. You know, I want to know Zen. I want to know Fukaragiri. I want to know Minneapolis. I want to know Soro Zen. I want to know truth. All of these things. That is ignorance. From where it comes. You don't know where it comes. This is great in a sense. So you can feel really human. But you cannot sit down always on the last little bit stinky chair. So you have to know. You have to know. Anyway, fish smell as it is, by sometimes getting out of it. Do you understand? Then you really appreciate the presence of ignorance, you really appreciate human beings anyway. Because through ignorance, you can understand perfect compassions, embracing all sentient beings. It's wonderful. Other beings cannot imitate anyway. Any other questions? Any other objections about this? You ever seen? Well, actually, forget those ideas, okay? Forget those ideas. So, important point, how do you know the ignorance? If you want to know ignorance, do your best to live anyway in this life, okay? Then very naturally you can know ignorance. If you want to study Buddhism, anyway, study Buddhism thoroughly, okay? If you want to study anyway, if you want to know ignorance, if you want to feel human as human here, anyway, do your best to live as a human, to study Buddhism, to practice Zazen, or to be a professional or something, if you want. Anyway, do it. Very naturally you can know ignorance. Then you appreciate it anyway at that time. Because ignorance supports your life.
Yeah.